In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of all saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So today is the feast of the triumph of the cross, the exaltation of the Holy Cross, and I'd like to read to something here. This is the cross is sacrament. This is everything that Jesus said to Louisa about the Holy Cross in the Book of Heaven. And he says this: do you want to be filled with immense riches, not for a short time, but for all eternity? He says, well, then the cross will administer to you all kinds of riches, from the littlest pennies, which are the small crosses, to the greatest amounts, which are the heavier crosses. Yet men are so greedy to earn a temporal nickel that they will soon have to leave this earth. He says, but they do not even give a thought to earning one eternal penny. And when I, having compassion for them and seeing their carelessness for all that regards eternity, kindly offer them the opportunity, instead of cherishing the cross, they get angry and offend me. What human madness. It seems to me that they understand it upside down. So he says, my beloved cross is the cross. In the cross, there are all the triumphs. In the cross, there are all the victories. In the cross, there are the greatest gains. As for you, you must have no other aim than the cross. And this will be enough for you in everything. And then he says in volume two, the cross disposes the soul to patience. The cross opens heaven. The cross unites heaven and earth together. That is God and the soul. The virtue of the cross is powerful. And when it enters into the soul, it has the virtue of removing all the rust of earthly things. Not only this, but it causes her boredom, bother, and contempt for the things of the earth, giving her instead the flavor, the enjoyment of celestial things. However, few are those who recognize the virtue of the cross. Therefore, they despise it. So here Jesus is showing us that the Holy Cross is essential for us. It's our life. And this is why St. Louis de Montfort says there'll be in the final days that with the rosary and cross in the one hand and the rosary in the other. These are the two weapons that we have, the Holy Cross and the rosary. We wear the scapular, the clothing of heaven. We need to protect ourselves. A friend of mine was telling me last night that when she went to confession, the priest told her as a penance to pray for those who are going to enter into this horrible Holocaust that's coming. I thought that was very, very important. Sometimes we forget that where we're living, how we're living, is what God has planned from the beginning of time. He's asked us to live at this time. He's given us the Book of Heaven, and he wants us to begin to live this abundant life. And there's going to be changes. There's going to be changes that are going to happen, and these changes will be painful. But we know the kingdom's coming. And what we have to go through is something that's difficult. But not to worry about it. I mean, to embrace it, to embrace what's coming, because as St. Joan of Arc said, we were born for this time. The Lord has given us everything that we need to get through what's coming. And it will be tough. It will be sorrowful. It will be painful. But it's exactly what Christ wants for us at this point. He needs us to give our fiat to what he has called us to. So today we're going to focus on volume 34, June 6, 1937. And Jesus says, see, therefore, what dowry I, God, will give to the one who must live in our eternal volition. Okay, so the Lord is showing us that this is what he's called us with Louisa. Because of Louisa, we have this great blessing. He says, I will give a great dowry to the souls who must live in our eternal will. So we have everything at our disposal. All the knowledges, Jesus says, that I, God, have manifested about the divine will, the immense values of the divine will, the worth of the divine will, its divine love, and the love that has pushed me, God, to manifest these truths to Louisa, will be the great dowry, the divine dowry that I, God, will give to who will want to live in my fiat. So this dowry, you know, is basically you pay for a bride. You're buying a bride. You're giving you're surrendering. Jesus says the father surrenders the daughter to the one who will be the spouse, be the husband. And this is the dowry. The people will buy this. They'll say, in place of losing your daughter, I want to give you this as a the dowry for this, for their wife. And so Jesus says he came to earth for a bride, and he's going to marry the bride collectively, the Holy Church collectively, but also individually. So he needs to have us understand that this life that we're going to live, this marriage to God that we're going to give, that's to live in our eternal volition. I have to give you the knowledges that Jesus has given to Louisa, the immense values that Jesus has given to Louisa, its worth, its love. It's love that pushes me, God, to manifest these truths, these blessings to those who will be living this abundant life. So he wants to show us that your worth, what he has done is he's not only died on the cross for you, he's not only died on Calvary, shedding every drop of his blood, but he wants to make us aware that you are so important to him that he wants you to enter into this abundant life. So when we read, like today's readings on this feast of the exaltation of the Holy Cross, these readings are magnificent. Jesus is showing us why every house should have a cross. I put a cross on the outside of my house. I got a cross at the peak of my roof. I've got a cross in every room. As Jesus says this, you have to understand, if we don't see the cross, we complain a lot. If we don't see the cross, we our life miserable. We don't understand the love of God. We don't understand how much our God loves us, and he needs us to cooperate to begin to understand what this Holy Cross is all about, what this life is all about. It's not here to have fun. It's here to prepare for eternity. And, but what happens is when we enter into this life, this, as Jesus says, living in the eternal volition, everything becomes peace, joy, and happiness. Our life is filled with joy, filled with happiness. One of the things that when we did our retreat at Rome City, Indiana, on August 15th, at the end of the day, it was like we were all children. There was something that the Lord gave us with great joy. It was great happiness. I mean, you can't put into words how much fun we were having just being children. And this is important. This kingdom, Jesus says, is the heavenly banquet, this wedding feast for all eternity, to become one with God, fused with God. So when you do your prevenient act in the morning and then your actual acts throughout the day, is to say to God, I want to fuse myself with you. I want to be one with you. I need to really begin to live this abundant life. I want this. So we fuse ourselves with the Holy Trinity. And God says, well, how are you going to do this? How do you want to become one with the triune God? How do you want to do this? And what we say is, well, you say in volume 17, May 4th, 1925, that the Father wanted the reflection of the Trinity on earth. He wanted this reflection of the Holy Trinity on earth. And under the paternity of the Father is Mary. Under Jesus, Son of God, is Jesus, Son of Mary. Under the Holy Spirit is Louisa. So this reflection of the Trinity on earth that's coming, I mean, this great outpouring of the Holy Spirit, this harvest feast that God says we get ready for, is to get us ready for this, this oneness with God so that we can participate in all of creation, all of redemption, all of sanctification, so that we can enter into that prime act of God, which is the divine will to, begin to be fused with God, as Adam was at the beginning when God breathed into the dust, into the ruah, of God, the breath of God. Adam at that point, was God in God's image and likeness. His DNA was in the image and likeness of God. And now God wants us to re-enter into this abundant life. So he says, everything's going to change. It has to change, and it's going to change for the better. But he says it's like a pregnancy. When the baby is due, there's more and more pain. The pain is more intense until the child is born. And he says, you have to understand this natural process. What happens naturally has to happen supernaturally. We're going to go through this difficulty, but we can't take our eyes off the goal. The goal is to be one with God, fused with God in his holy divine will. So Jesus says, this great dowry, this divine dowry that I, God, will give to the souls who want to live in my divine will, in which they will find all the superabundant helps in order to render themselves rich and happy. So this superabundant blessing that we're getting right at this point fills us with happiness. And this is why I said very, very clearly what God has given to us is a new beginning, a beginning that is going to bring about peace, joy, and happiness. So when we see Christ crucified, when we see Christ hanging on the cross, when we see what he went through, shedding every drop of his blood, we are filled with confidence that God is not going to let us go. He's going to take care of us. He's going to bless us abundantly. And even, as he says, even what we say on Holy Saturday, oh, happy fault of Adam, more than what Adam received. And this is what God gave to Louisa. So when we read the volumes, when we enter into this gift, it becomes... we become more peaceful, joyful, and happy. If we're always complaining, it's because we haven't focused on Christ crucified. If we're always complaining, it's because we have not spent time in front of the Blessed Sacrament, in front of the monstrance, looking at Jesus in the monstrance. So our God wants us to begin to understand that he's going to take care of us. There's nothing to worry about. There's nothing to fear. There's nothing to be anxious about. God is in control. He is the Lord. It might seem at times, you know, what is happening, but God's trying to wake us up. The kingdom is coming. And we have to make a decision. You know, do we want to be with him and his holy church or not? Do we want to be with him in this abundant life or not? And so the Lord is asking us, he's pleading with us to understand, do you want to find superabundant helps in order to render yourself rich and happy? Or do you want to still be miserable? A lot of people, when they go to confession, they go to confession to complain. And then they did this to me and they did that to me. And this is what I have to go through. And no, confession is to say, I bless me, Father, for I have sinned. This is what I thought. This is what I said. This is what I did. This is what I failed to do. This is the misery that we're in. This is the human will that we're in. And God is asking us to avoid the near occasions of sin, make a firm purpose of amendment to avoid what? All the misery. We are to enter into this life of peace, joy, and happiness. Our Lady at the foot of the cross, she was peaceful, joyful, and happy. Our Lady at the foot of the cross, her heart was being torn apart, watching her beloved son be crucified. And we get glimpses of this when we see Mel Gibson's movie, The Passion of the Christ. We get glimpses of it. In the divine will, we've mentioned this before, the gift that Jesus says, I give to the children of the divine will is bilocation. But it's not the bilocation of the saints. It's for Jesus to take us where he wants us to be. And where he wants us to be is basically what we pray when we pray the Holy Rosary. It's to be with Jesus at Bethlehem, to be with Jesus at Golgotha, to be with Jesus and Mary is the life that our God wants us to remember. So our memory, our intellect is to learn the things, as Jesus says, immense values, divine worth, divine love that God is giving to us. Our intellect has to begin to see things from a divine perspective. So our memory will be of Jesus and Mary. This is what God is waiting for. He's waiting for us to be so fused with our triune God that we're with Jesus, Mary, and Louisa. We're seeing Jesus and Mary the way God, Jesus and Mary showed Louisa. It's to enter into this life, to participate at Golgotha, to participate at Bethlehem, to be at Cana, to be in Capernaum, to be at Caesarea Philippi, to be with Jesus and to begin to remember everything that the Lord has taught us. So when he says, when the Spirit of truth comes, he'll reveal to you all truths and he'll remind you of everything that I have said. This is, to me, the book of heaven. As we read this every day, study this every day, especially today, the calendar, to go through the exaltation of the Holy Cross, to let Jesus tell us again how precious we are to him, that he would shed every drop of blood. He would shed every drop of blood. He would bleed to death so that we could live forever with him, one with him. This was to be our torture, our pain, our suffering. But none of us could have endured it. None of us would. We didn't have enough to make amends for what Adam had did, what Adam had done. It's to begin to be one with Christ crucified. So what does he do? He gives us all suffering. And suffering is a gift. It's not that we love pain. This is what he went through. This is what Our Lady and our Lord went through. The two of them went through this. They were the ones that suffered the most. So now when you look at Louisa, what does Jesus say? Jesus says to us that everything seems to be falling apart. Jesus says to us that he wants us to begin to live this abundant life. I see what it is. Okay. Sorry about that. God wants us to live this abundant life. So he teaches us that what Louisa went through every day was crucifixion. You know, Jesus would say to Jesus, you know, I die every day. You bring me back to life. Why don't you just take me to heaven? You know, this crucifixion was so painful that it was a crucifixion that Jesus brought Luisa through every day. Every day she was crucified. So Luisa said, when the Lord said, I want to crucify you every day so that you can become more like me, she said, okay, fiat. She gave her fiat. But she said, I don't want anybody to see this. Jesus said, okay. So every now and then, Aunt Rosaria, this is Father Bucci's aunt who would take care of Luisa. She'd go to Luisa's room and Luisa would be dead in bed with blood all over the bed, blood all over the floor. And she would run out, grab all the towels in the next room, run back in to wipe up all the blood. And there would be no blood there. And so we know from a witness, eyewitness, that this happened often, but occasionally Jesus let everybody know that this is what Luisa went through. Why would Jesus want to crucify Luisa? When the Father sees a soul that loves Jesus, that loves Mary, he lets them go through suffering, physical, spiritual, mental, emotional suffering. And what most of us do is complain. I have a good friend of mine. He always says when something goes wrong, why me? Why me? And I look at him and go, because God loves you. You know, and he's just, I don't want to go through this suffering. I don't want to go through this pain. It's not that we love suffering, but Luisa would teach us that Jesus come down from the cross just for a moment so that you are relieved of this suffering. Let me take your place for a second. Let me take your place for a little bit. And we don't go through the crucifixion. We go through, you know, a sliver, somebody annoying you, somebody being upset. Why? Jesus says, I want you to be freed of all the worry, the fear, the anxiety, the complaints, the negativity, the sin. So he has to put us through the test. So the people that annoy you don't annoy you anymore. Because why? You are one with Christ and you see that the Lord in each person, you love your neighbor as you love yourself. You see in your neighbor, Jesus. You see in your neighbor, the suffering that they're going through, the difficulties they're going through, the sorrows they're going through. And you don't, you're not, why me? You try to help them get through the suffering that God has given to them. Like he says very clearly, the one who must live in our volition, I will give all the knowledges, all the manifestations about my divine will. I will give you the value, the immense value, the divine worth, the divine love that pushes me to manifest these truths. And this will be the great dowry, the divine dowry that I will give to the one who wants to live in my divine will. And they will find all the superabundant helps in order to render themselves rich and happy. You're not miserable anymore. You're not worried, fearful, anxious, complaining, and negative. God wants to free you of that so that your focus is the kingdom. Your goal is the kingdom. So, you know, when we go through our sufferings, when we go through what God has given to us, we can drag our cross behind our back, you know, drag it behind it, complaining, or we can embrace it like Jesus did. We can embrace it like Mary did. We can embrace it like Luisa did. This is what God is asking. He says, they will find in these truths the tender mother who is taking them onto her lap as little babies and wraps them with divine light, feeds them with divine food, and lets them sleep on her bosom. So where we are right now is we go to Our Lady, we go to our Lord, we go to the divine will, and these truths are going to help us like a good mother takes care of her little children. That this is the blessing that our God is giving us at this time. And he's asking us, he's pleading with us to begin to live this abundant life. He really is. He's, listen to what he says. In order to keep them secure, the tender mother walks in their steps, works in their hands, speaks in their voice, loves and palpitates in their hearts. So Jesus said to Louisa in volume 36, clearly, he says, the senses were made for God, where to see God, hear God, smell God, taste God, and touch God. And as Catholics, this is why I say, when you spend time in front of the Blessed Sacrament, in front of the monstrance, in front of exposition of Jesus, you're looking at God. You're looking at God. And what he's asking of us is to fall in love with our God. Okay, how do you fall in love with anything? It's you got to spend time. And what happens is you begin to understand all the teachings that Jesus gave to Louisa about the Holy Eucharist, all the teachings on this Eucharistic Lord, as Saint John Paul II said, our divine prisoner of love. You know, he's in the tabernacle waiting for us. He's in the monstrance waiting for us. As John Paul II said, he wanted every parish to have Eucharistic adoration. So my understanding is that every parish we could go into, we would there would be a crowd of people with Jesus, looking at Jesus, falling in love with Jesus, adoring him, loving him, praising him, thanking him, blessing him, worshiping him. But if we don't start with the cross, if we don't see this as important to us, if we don't see the beauty of what God has done, the glory that God has given to us by being crucified, we won't spend time in front of the Blessed Sacrament. We just won't. But what God does is he says, do you want to know more about me? Spend time with me. Fall in love with me. He's madly in love with us. And he's waiting for that return of love. That's what he taught Louisa. The divine will is that return of divine love back to God. And what the Lord has said to Louisa is those that do the will of God, the saints, for the last 2,000 years, he says it's to do the will of God, to learn how to do the will of God. But Jesus says the most important thing to him is living in the will of God, as Jesus did, as Mary did, as they taught Louisa. To enter into this abundant life is what our God is asking of us. So he says, the souls who want to live in the divine will, who must live in the, I love that. He says, I will give to the soul who must live in our eternal volition, which means it was planned from God from the beginning. We have to remember when Jesus said to Mary and Joseph, when they found him in the temple, he says, did you not understand? I must be in my Father's house. You know, this is a divine command, if you want to say, I must obey. So here, to the soul who must live, this is what God has wanted from the beginning of time. And he's given you the book of heaven. He's given all of us the book of heaven so that we can begin to participate in this abundant life where they will find the truths, the tender mother who take him onto the lap of his little babies, wrap him with divine light, feed them with divine food, let them sleep in her bosom. In order to keep them secure, she walks in their steps. They see that what God, when God breathed that Ruah of God, that breath of God into Adam, Adam participated in God. God was walking in Adam's steps. God was one with Adam, fused with Adam. Image and likeness Adam possessed. Walked in their steps, worked in his hands, speaked in his voice, loved and palpitated in his heart. And what the saints have done is to do the will of God. And that's all Adam could do after he sinned. After Adam sinned, all he could do was doing the works of God, doing the will of God. He couldn't enter into the life of God because you needed Jesus to take our place on the cross. See, the cross is what's crucified. It's all our sin, all our worry, our fear, our anxiety, our complaints, our negativity. All our sin is crucified with Christ. It doesn't belong to us anymore. Jesus died so that he took our place. Why? to give us his life. So he, like in the Holy Eucharist, he says to Luisa, the reason I give you the Holy Eucharist is to prepare you for the perennial communion that all the souls are going to participate in the new era. This perennial communion with God. It's what Adam did. He walked and talked with God in the cool of the evening, never to be separated from God. And that's what he's waiting for. Are you willing, Jesus says, to spend time with me so I can teach you, I can lead you, I can guide you closer to this perennial communion, fusing yourself with God for all eternity, as Adam possessed before the fall. So what happens is we're into this light. We're out of the darkness. We're being fed. We're not hungry anymore. We're sleeping. We're resting in God. In order to keep them secure, God is walking in our walking. He's working in our working. He's speaking in our speaking. He loves and palpitates in our hearts. This is why the little children of the Holy Divine Will are happy. This is why, you know, at the end of the 3-day retreat, we were laughing and joking and having a lot of fun, because this is what it means to be children. We can be miserable if we want, and some people were, but it's to be let go of all the worry, the fear, the anxiety, the complaints, and embrace this divine love, as he says, where God is walking in our walking. God is working in our hands. God is speaking in their voice. This is why he created Adam, so Adam could participate one with God, fuse with God. And he says this, in order to keep them attentive and entertained, she acts as a teacher to them. So what God is doing, this is the fun part about reading the Book of Heaven. Every day, there's something more beautiful. Every day, there's something more magnificent. God keeps, he says to Luisa, expanding our capacity to embrace this abundant life. He expands our capacity to what we read 5 times, 10 times, 100 times is more beautiful when we read it again. Why? He's showing to us that this word of God, Jesus, as he speaks, this word is, he says, is filled. Every word is a divine life. Every word, one word of Jesus is eternal. For example, it's so powerful. When God said, fiat lux, let there be light, what happened? The universe began. When Our Lady said, fiat mihi, the incarnation took place. And now Jesus says to Luisa, I need you to give your fiat. And the fiat that I want you to say, Jesus says, is fiat voluntas tua. May your kingdom reign in me, this dust on earth as it is in heaven. And when we learn this, when we spend time with Jesus, again, especially in front of the Blessed Sacrament, looking at the Lord, falling in love with our Lord, what he does as the word, he keeps on expanding our capacity for all eternity to show us who he is, to show us who we are. And he says that's the greatest gift that God can give to mankind. He says, the greatest gift I can give to mankind is that the people will know who they are and know who he is. So who are we? We're the children of God. We are in the vastness of the universe. We're a speck. We're nothing. Yeah. Jesus says, I want you to be filled with divinity. This is what our God can do. And he teaches Luisa, as you do your rounds, as you do your acts, when you begin the day with your prevenient act and you get closer and closer to God, what happens at that point is he expands our capacity to have more of this, as he says, the manifestations, the immense values, the divine worth, the divine love of God. So he says to us, I've given you the Book of Heaven because this is what you must live. And you can have it as much as you want or as little as you want. He says you can have it 30, 60, or 100-fold. What do you want? Jesus says. How much do you want this? So we read the lives of the saints. I love reading the lives of the saints, but that's how to do the will of God, to live in the will of God. The only one who was shown how to live in the will of God, next to Adam, who possessed it, next to Jesus and Mary, who possessed it, is Louisa. That's why when we read the Book of Heaven, and this is why God calls it the Book of Heaven, you begin to be joy-filled. Why? You realize that your worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, negativity, and sin is not yours anymore. Jesus bought it with his precious blood, shedding every drop to free us from our misery. And now Jesus is saying, I want you to enter into this joy. I want to give you my joy, Jesus says, so that your joy will be complete. This is divine joy. It's not human joy. So what Jesus says is you've got to begin to live heaven. So he says to us, and if you want to be like me, you're going to basically, he says, have the cross. And the cross becomes your greatest blessing. A friend of mine who was in a mental institution for 42 years, and then in the 70s, they examined her because they were closing the mental institutions. They found out that she was normal. She had cerebral palsy. She was deformed. She couldn't speak well. Couldn't walk very well at all. And when she would walk down the street, the children would cry out, "Monster, monster." I was complaining once. I thought that was a gift that God gave me. So I was using it to the best of my ability. And I was complaining. And she says, if you could put your cross in a pile and be free of your cross for 24 hours and then go back and pick any cross that's there in that pile of crosses, she says, you would search for your own cross. And she said, you don't want my cross. And she says, I don't want your cross. This is our life. Now, here is a girl that was in a mental institution for 42 years. And she says, this is your life. This is what God has given you. And it's basically, she was saying, this is our fiat. Yes to what God wants. The world says, we don't need this. World says, we don't need suffering. And our job is to say, Jesus, whatever you want is what I want. How do we get to that point of whatever you want is what I want? It's to read, to study, to put into practice the one who was crucified every day. Our Lady, her heart was split in two. It's a reflection of Jesus's heart. But when you read about Louisa, he talks about, he says, there will be a spear from earth through your heart and a bolt of lightning from heaven through your heart. And then he says, and I want a nail driven into your heart so that you will always remember who I am. This is something that when we read about Louisa, we see that here's the three that suffered the most. They are the three that suffered the most. And you have Jesus and Mary, of course. But Louisa suffered horribly by being crucified every day. So Jesus says, I'm going to, as you read, I'm going to keep you attentive and entertained. I will act as a teacher, telling them enchanting scenes of the celestial fatherland. And that's the other thing, too. As you read, as you study, as you put into practice the Book of Heaven, Jesus opens the door just like a crack in the door. And this light that comes out is so magnificent that you get every day you're learning more and more and more until that day opens completely when the Holy Father opens that door. He has the keys to the kingdom. He has the keys to the kingdom. And what Jesus shows Louisa is the Holy Father will work basically with Louisa, to give this gift to all the world. So don't worry. God's got everything planned. He's in charge. He knows how he's going to do this. He's got everything planned. You know, some people say, you know, why is this happening? Why is this happening? God is in charge, and he's God, and he's got it planned. So in these truths, they will find the one who cries and suffers together with them. They will find the one who knows how to put in traffic even their breath. So what Jesus did with Louisa, it's to help us understand Jesus and Mary, the two that suffered the most, gave this gift to Louisa to help us understand our suffering. The littlest things, the littlest trifles themselves will change for these souls who must live in our divine will into divine conquests and eternal values. This is the divine will. Your sufferings will change into divine conquests. Your sufferings will change into eternal values. This is the knowledges that I've manifested about the divine will. This is the immense values, its worth, its love that has pushed Jesus to manifest to us what he gave to Louisa. Great things are in store. Amazing things are in store. And all our God is asking of us is to give our fiat. So we'll end with a blessing with the relic of the true cross. May the blood that flowed upon the wood of this cross free us from our human will, that we live in God's holy divine will always. And we pray that this prayer becomes God's command, that all the little children of holy divine will become divinely healed. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you.